Bloody
awesome!
Bloody
awesome!
Bloody
awesome!
Bloody
awesome!
Bloody
awesome!
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast spoiler episode for Shazam! Fury of the Gods. I'm John Burke, and with me from across the pond is Matt Hudson from whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. Matt, how you doing?
Shazam! Sorry.
Oh, man. I almost did that.
Had to get back to my normal form. I'm doing really well, JB. Looking forward to diving into the points now that we couldn't do on this week's main episode.
So we should have
ready
said
to spoil it.
Shabamp, right? Shabamp.
God damn you to hell and back. Shabamp!
Let's start over. No, leave it in. Triple it. We'll keep it there. Again, folks, we're going to talk about all of the spoilers for Shazam! Fury of the Gods. I don't know for how long, to be honest, but there's a lot of stuff that happens in this movie. And if you haven't seen it, you should pause here, go watch the movie, come back and listen to the spoilers afterwards. Unless you really don't care, in which case, keep listening.
Welcome.
Because, you know, we don't know if any of this means anything anymore. This might be the last of the DCU. Except, I think we have to start with the first stinger. I think that's what we should start with.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that.
So, again, folks, you've been warned. We're jumping into the spoilers. Movie's over. We go to the credits. Credits come on. There's Zachary Levi as Shazam, but we also see, I'm going to forget their names, but Steve Agee and James Gunn's wife, whose name I keep forgetting.
I can't remember, but the doctor person. Yeah.
Harv? It starts with an H in the show. Cannot remember the name of the characters, but they're characters from the Suicide Squad and also from, more importantly, Peacemaker, the incredibly underseen HBO TV series. There to recruit Shazam into the Justice Society, which is a Black Adam reference.
Yep.
But does it matter? Does any of it matter?
Nope. No, it doesn't. I don't think it is. Amelia Harcourt is the character, and John. Yep. Economus, yeah. It's Jennifer Holland, or Jennifer Gunn now, I guess she'd be called.
She may not have taken his last name, but she might have, I don't know.
She may have done, this feels odd. And other moments I'm sure were referenced, but it kind of felt odd considering that we know what's coming in the universe, which is why certain narrative decisions should have been taken rather than the ones that they did take. But I think, and it's all on behalf at the behest of Amanda Waller. Which we're getting Waller, which is such a silly title. We're getting Waller, I'm guessing it'll be on HBO Max. So we're getting that coming up. So it's going to tie into that just to muddy the waters that bit more. But what did you think of the scene then? Obviously, again, considering what we know about the future.
So I like Zach Levi, and I thought the jokes were funny. I thought the Avenger Squad or whatever. And also I thought the setup was pretty solid. Like, he's looking up synonyms for justice. I thought that was all kind of funny. And of course he thought it was for Justice League, only to find out it's Justice Society.
Yep.
It's like, who decided to add this? And are we going to get Zachary Levi on like the TV series? Like, is he going to be on? Cause the rumors are that Waller will be like a backdoor Peacemaker too. Because she's very important to Peacemaker or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. And it's like, I don't think these characters are the same, but at the same time, these are Gunn's characters, right? Like, these are the characters from his side of the universe that does exist. But are they gonna leave some things in continuity and other things? Like, it's so confusing.
They can't, because...
But
Shazam,
the Flashpoint.
Well, we got the Flashpoint, yeah. You just can't do it, JB, because if they keep Zachary Levi... Which is a shame, because I think he's very good as Shazam in both films. If you keep him going forward, then obviously his backstory is in these two films, which have direct references to the DCEU as it is currently in its old guise, shall we say, including characters as well, and references to characters and their traits, or even just actual characters showing up, a la the one at the end of this film. But
which we're about to talk about.
I think, for me, it's got to be all or none. You know what I mean? You either don't do it, or you redo it in your own vision.
Or you really risk confusing the crap out of your audience. And that's what
Absolutely.
They seem to be okay with doing. Because they keep doing it, right? The DCU, how many soft reboots are we going to have? Because Suicide Squad was kind of a soft reboot, right? Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
the way we took it. what is going on? Just cut your losses and start over. Like, it's so worse the way we're doing it.
Dude, the only thing I could say is I'm so damn glad
that
Wonder Woman didn't show up.
But we're going to get an Aquaman movie still, right? Like, that's still happening too, isn't it? So it's like, it doesn't make any sense anymore. But yes, no, of course, there's no way, because we've basically been told that Gail Gadot was done, but also not told that, right? Like, that was, it was a little confusing. We know Henry Cavill's done. Like, that feels 100%, even though a few months ago, we were told he's not done.
Jesus Christ. Thanks, Black Adam.
Yeah, and then immediately, and to be fair, James Gunn was not in charge yet when that was decided. But if he's out, then we should safely assume that Gadot was out, but here she shows up. Now, we're teased Wonder Woman early in the movie, so they do set this up, right? Yes,
funny scene.
They tease her, and then it's Jimin Hunsu's wizard head on Wonder Woman's body, although I don't know if it's Gadot's body or another stand-in's body.
It's believe it or not, it's Grace Caroline Curry's body, who plays Mary in this film. And I'll tell you something, JB, you know, with all the respect in the world, she looks great as Wonder Woman, because they showed some, like, a behind-the-scenes shot of her in the gear, because she's the body, and then they did their kind of technical wizardry to superimpose, for want of a better term, Gal Gadot's face on hers. But, you know, the behind-the-scenes shots of Grace Caroline Curry dressed as Wonder Woman, I'm thinking, you know, damn, that's a very good, how do I put it, a good-looking Wonder Woman, of course, in every sense of the word. But in terms of, like, visually, I was like, yeah, you look the part. I could buy you as Wonder Woman. Of course, I mean, maybe they could do that, depending on what they do with Shazam. But if you carry Zachary Levi forward, now you're carrying the baggage of Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman, because she showed up in the film.
And there is a two-line setup aside from the dream where he says something like, what about demigods? Do they count? When he's talking to Steve and he's going to send her a letter.
Yeah.
So they set up her showing up and maybe even having the power to do what she does, which, aside from the fact that she shows up, which again is baffling in terms of the franchise, you know, film world, real world stuff that we know is happening, it's also, it undoes what could have been a really powerful ending to this character.
Yes, 100%.
Which I think you alluded to, right? Because you said you thought they were doing something really, really interesting, and then they backpedal pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's the final battle there between I can't remember Lucy Liu's character's name now, but the Lucy Liu's character versus Shazam, she's called Calypso versus Shazam in this dome that was created by Helen Mirren's character, who also had a funky name, Hespera. She created this dome so nobody could leave, and so they now know what it's like to be trapped within this body where they can't get out of this area. And of course, that comes into play at the end when Helen Mirren has to then help Shazam out. But you got this kind of great ending where Shazam has to fill up that staff with as much of that energy and lightning as possible to essentially to create a bomb, as Hespera says. You're going to blow everything up within this dome, and everything will be destroyed. Everything will die. And he's like, well, you know, pretty much that's what heroes do. And she even says, you know, a real god when it happens. And I'm like, do you know what? This is a cool scene. You know, Shazam facing down the dragon and Calypso saving his foster family, saving the Shazam fam, saving the world, essentially. Well, he is saving the world, doing what is right. He's always shared the power of being a superhero with his friends or his family, and now he's, you know, he's given back the ultimate sacrifice. And I thought, damn, they've actually done it. I was like, wow, they showed his plot and everything where he's buried. And I thought, what a ballsy thing to do, even if we are going out now with this iteration of DCU, like, what a ballsy thing to do, to basically kill off a kid superhero for one, but also just a hero in only his second film. I thought this is a fantastic thing to do, and a great way to tie up any kind of narrative loose ends where there's no doubt now that going forward, here we go, there will be a new Shazam in the new gun verse, blah blah blah. But they didn't. For me, they pulled their punches here by tying it in so tightly with the existing DCEU, which Honestly, James, the more I think about it, the more confused I get about it, because I just don't understand the creative decision behind this or the commercial decision behind it, because we're not pushing ahead with these characters, I thought. So for me, I think it would have carried an absolute wallop and a great weight at the end of this film had they gone ahead, given the sacrifice. And I think it would have actually made this film a stronger film. Some films can be made by their ending. We didn't dislike Shazam, Fury of the Gods. We thought it was pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. But I think having that ending would have made this, you know, surprisingly solid and poignant movie. But they pulled it at the end, JB. Would you have rather they gone that route, or are you happy with the way they went?
I was unsure, especially because we get the funeral scene, if you will, and that part seems powerful, and then Wonder Woman shows up, and they use the freaking needle drop of her theme song, and it's just, you know, none of it really sat great, and it still played for laughs. Like, he, like, bursts out like a zombie, and he's like, "You buried me?" And it's like, did they not bury you in a coffin? Like, did they just put you in dirt?
That's a good point.
But also, like, would the powers have been passed on to the other kids, because that they all got their powers back? Like, there's that whole thing with them losing their powers and getting their powers, which is kind of annoying. I think it would have been a more powerful ending to leave him off. Maybe all the kids give their powers back because they just want to live a normal life, and the wizard has the staff again, and then you could bring Jimon Hunsu into another future version of this and give the powers to someone else. I think it's always Billy Batson, though, in the comics. I don't remember if anyone else has ever actually, like, the full-on I'm Shazam or not. But I didn't love that they brought the staff back, because I didn't really feel like the staff was super relevant. Like, when the beginning of the movie, when they're getting the staff, I did not know that was from the first movie. I was like, what's that? And then later, I'm like,
I'm so glad it wasn't just me.
I completely blanked that was a thing in the first movie.
Cool opening scene, though, you know, turning into like a modern-day Pompeii of the... If turning everyone to dust, and the way they just knock that dude down, the tour guide, and just
I hate that they play the tour guide for so much humor, though. Like, it feels so forced right away. And the other thing, though, with the choice of villains for this, we didn't talk about this in the non-spoiler, but these characters do not exist in the DC comics.
I did not know that.
I have not done my research, but my understanding is while there is, like, Greek gods in the DC universe, and Shazam deals with that, obviously, that the daughters of Atlas were not villains of Shazam at any point. And my understanding, they do not exist in the comic world. So a weird choice to, like, we're going to use IP because that's what brings people in. But we're also going to acknowledge that really Shazam's not that big of an IP. So no one will care who the villain is, because the only villain that people know won't be in the movie.
He said he didn't want to do it. I don't want to be in your Shazam film. Man, we covered that on the main episode, didn't we? With Black Adam.
It
would have been great if he was a villain, an actual villain.
With the fact that these aren't, like, beloved villains of Shazam, you're like, wait, hold up. So Shazam's rival exists in the movies.
Yep.
But he won't be ever fighting Shazam, and instead we're going to fabricate new villains that are loosely based on Greek mythology in ways that their powers make zero sense to me, by the way. I don't understand why they have the powers that they have. I'm just like, okay, I guess, like, chaos power. Helen Mirren's power is elemental, but she can create a shield? Like, that's not an element. What element is shield? Like, what the heck are you talking about? Elements like fire or, you know, like, water. Like, she's not using the elements. So it felt... And then Rachel Zegler's power, I forget her name. Anthea? I don't remember what it was.
I can't remember her name.
Who cares? It's Axis powers, and she can just, like, rotate the world like a Rubik's Cube. I did not, for the life of me, understand, like, the chaos power I kind of got, but not really. I would have rather them not label their powers and just me have to be like, yeah, I guess she can whisper crap to people and they do it. Like, I, you know, zero sense to me. Again, some cool visuals.
I'd be fine with like, that.
Yeah. But it did, when you look at it, I'm like, that's dumb. Like, there's, again, a pantheon of villains exists in the comic books.
Hey,
we created new ones.
We get and again, Dame Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu being badass. Which,
right. I'm not complaining about the casting. I'm not complaining about their actual like performances in the movie or even the function the character serves.
It is an odd choice there.
Yeah, and some of their motivations, as you noted in the non-spoiler episode, are questionable.
It's just stupid. What I did like, though, is they had the, you know, they had the nous to have one of the characters, Helen Mirren's character, kind of be like, well, hold on, that's not part of the plan. Whereas Calypso, Lucy Liu's character, she's a head case. She just wants to literally watch the world burn. She blames humans. She wants them to feel the pain that they've felt through millennia. Whereas Helen Mirren's character is a little bit more, Hespera is a little bit more kind of, well, we've got what we needed. Let's just go back and do our own thing. And of course, Rachel Zegler's is the same because she immediately falls in love with Jack Dylan Grazer. No, without a second, without a shadow of a doubt, immediately just sees him and is like, yep, I love him. And she thinks the same. Two good looking people. But the way her character, Rachel Zegler's character, was handled and developed, I thought was so surface level. I thought it was really poor. Not her fault, because I think, like you said, I think she's great. I think she's an up-and-coming star. We've got so many great up-and-coming actors coming out of so many different genres. She's one of them. But I think the writing absolutely did her no favours in this, John.
Agreed.
I'm trying to think. I think the battle sequences are good. I think the action sequences are very cool. I like the opening. There's a scene, JB, where a character is compelled by Lucy Liu to walk off the side of a building as Jack Dylan Grazer just absolutely freaks out. So I think that one might go down as probably not for kids. And you said off air that obviously we know Sandberg's a horror director, and he does infuse as much as he can do those sensibilities into these films, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, that's overall, I don't have any major problems with this movie. It's just,
yeah, same.
Yeah. It's not great though. Like, I want that to be clear. I have no major problems, but I also am like, but yeah, it's fine. It's a little better than fine.
It does what it needs to do. For me, it sagged in the middle. I think they pulled their punches at the end, but I enjoyed the performances. I think everybody looked great. I think the jokes for the most part landed. Yeah, I liked it when it had that flippant fun feel to it, because I kind of feel like that's missing in a lot of superhero films. There was a lot to enjoy. Just wasn't perfect. Yeah,
I think Jack Dylan Grazer, if he works for you, I think the movie's a lot of fun. And if he doesn't, I think the movie can feel maybe a little tedious, because his humor, if you're not on the same page as his jokes, because he's like over the top. He is acting. Like, I feel like it's a performance, but it's a performance that I like, and I like comedic performances like this. Which is why it works for me in It too. Like, I think he's the highlight of It. Like, he cracks me up.
I agree. I'd also throw that at Zachary Levi though as well. That I know he's had the first film, but I do feel like obviously he's leaning into the shtick a bit more here. But so if for me, I didn't mind it, but I can imagine there'll be some people who, you know, it's a bit too much for them. It doesn't work.
Like, horror comedy is very, very subjective, right?
If 100%.
Don't land for you, then the movie's gonna feel awful. And if you're laughing, I think you're just like, ah, whatever, it's stupid but it's fun, I'm laughing, I'm having a good time. That's what matters with this type of movie. Like, and really, especially in the DC, a movie that isn't taking itself too seriously is kind of refreshing.
Even when we'll give us more,
and when it does get serious, I think it does a pretty good job of transitioning. And one thing we haven't talked about at all, there is a pantheon of Greek monsters in this. There's harpies, there's minotaurs, cyclops.
Yes, there is.
I thought they looked pretty good. Like,
I liked how they subverted everybody's idea of what a unicorn is as well. I know we mentioned that on the non-spoiler. And yeah, I mean, look, I thought Wayne's World 2 was over the top, but damn, they literally said "taste of the rainbow" in this, and I thought,
mother effer. I think they bleeped the effer, but like,
they cut it in our one. Yeah.
Yeah, something screeches or something. Like, they cut it. It's a good cut. It works as a joke. It landed.
It's a hard cut, yeah.
My audience that I was with cracked up when that happened, so.
Yeah, no, I like you. I dug it, JB. I didn't love it. There are issues with it. It's a bit disjointed, but it's a fun time at the theatre, and that's all I could ask for. I just wish it stuck the landing and was just that bit more insular and standalone, I think it would have benefited more for me.
I don't disagree. But I think that is our episode of spoilers for Shazam Fury of, I want to say Fury Road, oops, Fury of the Gods, Furry of the Gods. Anyways, if you like what we're doing here at the Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast, we ask that you take just a minute and give us that 5-star rating on whatever podcast catcher you use to listen to the show. You can follow us on social media. On Instagram, we're at Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast. Nope, just Movie Pod. I apologize. I added the cast. Matt, where are we on Twitter?
We are at BAMP_podcast, BAMP_podcast.
And we're on Facebook. If you still use that, you're welcome to search us up. You can follow me individually at BurkeReviews.com and at BurkeReviews on all the social media platforms. Matt, where can they find you?
WhatIWatchTonight.co.uk, or just search for What I Watch Tonight across all of the socials, including Letterboxd.
We will be back next week with our review of John Wick Chapter 4. I'm a little disappointed that they didn't keep the crazy naming convention of John Wick Chapter 3.
I'm so glad they didn't.
I know, but it does make 3 stand out even more, right? Like, wait, what happened? Anyways, we'll be back with our review of that. So with that, we encourage you to keep watching movies.
And stay bloody awesome. Blood, 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 bloody.